the Financial Sense Lifetime Income Program. Now, here's the Financial Sense News Team, Jim Poplava and John Loeffler.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Poplava, and welcome to this week's edition of Lifetime Income.
And I'm John Loeffler. You know, baby boomers have actually changed the retirement landscape over the next 20 years. People who are 65 and older will grow by 80% to 32 million by the year 2030. Boomers are not only changing the retirement landscape, but they're also changing how and when they retire. And an assessment of the latest trends are showing that they're choosing to retire later. More than 22% of those who are age 65 or older are continuing to work today. And even if they do quit their main job, many are choosing to work part-time instead of retiring. So Jim, it looks like the I'm retiring and going to play golf now dream is not the same thing that the baby boomers are sharing today.
It's a totally different environment, John, and to get sort of a feel for this, it began with government laws that changed beginning back in 1978 when the government basically changed the mandatory retirement age, which used to be age 65. They raised it to age 70 when a lot of these retirement laws kick in. For example, when you have to take mandatory distributions from your IRA, for example, or when certain pension plans are no longer able to contribute to. So a lot of this had to do with what the government did. And then once again, in the year 2000, they came in and they changed the laws about working in receiving Social Security benefits. Prior to the year 2000, if you retired and applied for Social Security at age 62, between age 62 and 65, you would lose X amount of dollars. I think it was for every $2 you earned over the limit, you'd lose a dollar of your Social Security benefits. And then from age 65 to age 70, for every $3 you earned over your Social Security limit, then you would lose a dollar of Social Security benefits. In the year 2000, they said, look, once you reach full retirement age, which for most boomers right now, that's 66 for guys like you and me, and once you reach full retirement age, you can work as much as you want, and you're not going to lose your Social Security benefits. So a lot of what you've seen change in terms of working or working part-time came about with two significant changes to the retirement laws. One in 78, changing the mandatory retirement age, raising it from 65 to 70, and another one in 2000, where you did not forfeit Social Security benefits for working. And I predict as they go to entitlement reform, whether they do it willingly or it's forced on them with the crisis, they are going to be raising that retirement age on Social Security, just as they did for you and me, raising it to 66 to age 67 for Gen Xers. Eventually, John, they're going to raise that to somewhere around age 69 and 70, especially now given longevity rates.
What do you think has caused these trends? I mean, we had some changes in the law. Okay, that's a given. But it seems like there's something more sociologically or economically that's driving this.
Well, I mean, if you take a look at what we have seen transpire since the beginning of this millennium, number one, we've had two bear markets, a severe bear market with the bursting of the tech bubble at the beginning of the decade, and then another one followed 5 years later with the financial crisis. So two bear markets have decimated a lot of potential retirees' portfolios. Second is there were low savings rates. John, the savings rate almost got down to zero in the 90s. I mean, why in the heck would you be saving money when the stock market was going up 15% a year? So low savings rate. Third, the lowest interest rates we've seen in recorded human history. You know, I've used this example numerous times on the program, but you could have got 7 or 8% in the year 2000 on safe investments. Today, those equivalent investments are 1 to 2%. So historic low interest rates. Four, advances in medicine have allowed us to live longer. And this is why I think they're going to push back the Social Security retirement age. People are living into their 80s, 90s, and becoming centenarians. Five, look what's happened to medical costs since the passage of Obamacare. It's going up for many retirees, 25% on Obamacare premiums. Medicare premiums are going up for 30% of Medicare recipients. They went up over 20% this year. So rising medical cost. Another one that happened probably at the end of the 70s and 80s was a change in pension laws from defined benefit pension plans to defined contribution plans. So you no longer work for a company and you got 70, 80% of your salary and you're retired. And I hate to tell you, if you're working for the government, just take a look at what's going on in Illinois, what's happening in California. They are going to be doing away with defined benefit pension plans for government employees because they simply do not have the revenues to support that kind of retirement system. And then I think another thing was the delayed credits or the increase in Social Security benefits if you delay receiving them at full retirement age, let's say at age 66 or 65, the more you delay for the next 5 years, at least age 70, your Social Security benefits grow at 8% a year. I don't know of any investment that's guaranteed to do that.
Now, hasn't some of this, Jim, translated into some of the economic numbers that we see where, you know, they talk about participation rate in the labor force being low, but a lot of that could be attributed to the boomers.
Yeah, because more people are retiring, 10,000 a day in boomers. But, John, there is a positive side to this, too, because as boomers delay retirement, what does that mean? They're in the workforce, and what does that mean? They're paying into Social Security. They're paying into Medicare taxes. So the Treasury is getting extra revenues from people delaying their retirement or choosing to work part-time where they have to pay taxes. So there are a number of things that are contributing to this. But nonetheless, these factors are changing how and when people retire. 77 million Americans, unfortunately, are not increasing their savings. And so there's a wide gap also in addition to delayed retirement. But a lot of it is caused by people just don't have the money. They're not able to retire. They don't have the pension plans. And for many people, the only secure thing they have in their retirement portfolio is their Social Security. So they're choosing, not by choice, but they're being forced to delay their retirement. And that is putting a strain on entitlements, which means most Americans, as you're seeing, John, as we've seen government pare back on benefits, they began taxing Social Security. They began raising and putting a four-tiered pricing system on Medicare that came in with George W. Bush with Medicare Part D. So the government is going to be covering less and less of your retirement. And that means you're going to have to shoulder more of that burden yourself.
All right. So let's propose something here. Let's say somebody's getting close to retirement age. They're going to have to make a series of decisions before they actually, you know, what, pull the trigger, fly the trap door and do the retirement. So what are those key factors?
Well, I mean, the first one that has to be made by anybody considering retirement, assuming you are doing this voluntarily, is can I afford to retire? And when I say can I afford to retire, you're going to have to take a look at your expenses, take a look at your income and say, hey, do I have enough income coming in from my investments, Social Security or pension that I'm going to be able to pay my bills and live a comfortable lifestyle? So number one, can I afford to retire? Number two, is it the right time? What if you have a situation where, you know, your medical expenses are being covered by one of the spouses who works at a company? We often see this, that, you know, a husband and wife both work, but one of them has a better medical plan than the other, and that spouse will go on that spouse's medical plan. How will it affect? So you got to take a look at it. Is it the right time? Are you ready? Three, how will your retirement affect your spouse? The best example I can think of is benefits for medical, especially if you still have children in college or you have your wife on your medical plan. And four is a decision that you have to make. Do I really want to retire? In other words, if you're in a job, your company appreciates you, you love going to work each day. I mean, look at guys like Warren Buffett in their 80s. He loves going to work each day. He enjoys what he's doing. If you enjoy what you're doing, do you really want to retire? And it's been proven people that work longer live longer. So those are really four key questions you really need to ask before you make that big decision.
So let's begin with question number one. Can I afford to retire? I mean, that seems to be a real factor.
Yeah, I mean, it really gets down to looking at your expenses, John, and taking a look at, all right, here's where I'm spending my money. What, if anything, is going to change when I retire? Will your housing expenses, utilities be the same? I mean, what are you spending money on now that you would envision you would not be spending if you were retired? That's one. Number two, you need to think about additional expenses that you will be spending if you are retired. In other words, will you be doing more traveling? Traveling costs money. Will you be joining a country club, playing more golf? Will you be going out to dinner more? Are there special hobbies that you have that you would like to take up and spend money? So you really have to take a look at your expenses. Secondly, and this is so important, I want to emphasize this over and over again because it's left out of most retirement plans. If you are an average person, not in the upper income levels, you and your wife will spend $260,000 out of pocket for medical expenses. That includes your Medicare premiums, your Medigap insurance, and things not covered by insurance. And that does not include long-term care, which we'll talk about on Tuesday. So you need to add, on the average retirement lifespan of 20 to 25 years, you need to add $10,000 to $12,000 to your annual budget to make sure the money's going to be there. You also need to do a health questionnaire, given your health, your family history, on what your life expectancy is most likely to be. There are a lot of people that are living much, much longer and didn't think that they would need to have that money last as long as it has. And then look at your total expenses. And once you've looked at your expenses, now you have to take a look at a realistic revenues. In other words, Social Security, that's pretty clear. Do you have any company pensions? How much do you have in your 401ks and IRAs? And what kind of level of income will that produce? And then your personal investments. You know, do you have anything on the personal that maybe you're in growth investments? If you turn them to income investments, what will that look like? Because you're going to want a more conservative portfolio. The other thing is considering downsizing. In other words, if you had a couple kids, you had a big house, your house is paid for, or you have a lot of equity, are you going to live in the same house that you raised your family and worked then when you retire? Will you be moving to another community? If you're going to downsize and buy another house, will you be moving to another state? These are questions you have to look when you want to answer that most important question. Can I afford to retire? And if you don't do a thorough analysis, you don't want to wake up 5 years or 10 years into retirement and find out you're ending up penny pinching and your retirement lifestyle isn't what you thought it was going to be.
So let's say you take an assessment of where you are and things don't look as great as you'd like them to. What are your options at this point to say, well, it's hopeless and therefore I'm going to work until I drop or something like that?
Well, I mean, when you look at that, if you don't have the money to retire, there are a couple things you consider. Number one, you can always postpone retirement. If you thought you were going to retire at age 62, maybe you wait to age 66 in full retirement age. Or if you're 65 and 66, you work part-time or you work full-time until you're 70 because mandatory retirement doesn't kick in to age 70 under government laws. Or you work part-time. Maybe you do something different than what you're doing. And third is always consider reducing your lifestyle. For example, you can do what is called a tax inversion. You can move from a very expensive place to live, like California, where taxes, everything from sales, property, income taxes, housing is high, and even gasoline, to a state where it's cheaper to live, like Arizona, Nevada, Florida, as you see many people do. You can get rid of the big house and lower the cost of housing, live in a smaller home. You might end up eliminating expensive luxuries. For example, instead of traveling abroad and going to Europe or Asia, places that can cost a lot of money, maybe you travel locally. And instead of eating out three or four times a week, maybe you start having meals at home. In the end, you will know, can I retire and when? And you can make those alternative choices. The thing is, if you can't retire now, you do have options. You can continue to work. And by the way, that allows your Social Security to accumulate at a higher level of income when you do decide to take it. You can decide to work part-time. And if you reach full retirement age, you can actually work full-time and draw on your Social Security and not get penalized.
Well, you know, you always run into people who are theoretically retired. And when they do that, they grab their fingers and they put it in quotes. I'm retired. You know, a friend of mine, as a matter of fact, who's a Catholic priest that I knew when I was in seminary, said he's busier now that he's retired than he was before he was retired. So I think we've all heard these stories. And a lot of people just choose to keep on working because they find purpose in it.
Yeah, I had a doctor who his goal was to have a certain amount of money. He wanted to have $1 million when he retired. He had over 2 million when he retired at age 65. But then he decided he had hobbies. He had a sport car. He had photography. He loved to travel because one of his daughters married a gentleman that works for an oil company and was based in Asia. And he looked at that and he said, you know, I'm just not ready to just hang it all up. So he worked part-time for 5 years between age 65 and 70. In that extra 5 years, number one, it allowed him to carry on all his hobbies, do very expensive trips, because not only was he getting income from working part-time, but his house was free and clear, so he no longer had a house payment. And he decided to work part-time a couple days a week, and that allowed him to do his travel, allowed him to get involved in his sports car club. He got involved in photography, got to pay for all of this. On top of that, he didn't have to draw on his IRA and allowed it to accumulate another 5 years, throw in a bull market. And he had close to another $1 million more when he finally retired at age 70. In his case, he loved what he was doing. So he didn't want to retire full time until he got to age 70. And he says, you know, I'm ready. And at age 70, that's what he did. He retired.
So number one, can I afford to retire? Number two, is it the right time?
This really gets down to a personal decision. I mean, number one, it could be for health reasons. Maybe you're in a job that's highly stressful. I've had several clients that retired that were in jobs where they were constantly on airplanes, traveling, staying in hotels. And the stress of doing that just got to be too much. And for health reasons, they decided to retire. A lot of times companies will, in order to cut costs, especially as you get into recession or maybe the company has come on hard times, they will offer early retirement incentives to their employees to make it advantageous for you to retire early. Another thing that happens in this, sometimes reluctantly, there's corporate mergers. Companies downsize, you get laid off, or your company gets taken over, you don't like the new management, you don't like the way things are integrated, it becomes more stressful, companies downsize. So there are a lot of reasons that you could end up retiring when you don't expect it. And these are things that may force that unexpected event at a time you don't want to. So once again, this could end up being personal, or it could be out of the blue when you least expect it. You know, here you are planning on working to age 66, you're going along, and all of a sudden, unbeknownst to you, another company takes over your company. What are they going to do? They're going to bring in their new management, they're going to downsize, they're going to cut costs, and you may end up out of work when you least expect it.
You know, today, if you look at the families, they tend to be working families. And typically when that happens, one spouse winds up on the other's medical plan. They'd look at both of their plans and say, oh, well, jeepers, you know, Sherilyn, your work is much better than ours or mine, so we'll take yours. You know, that's the way they do. Now, the impact of families on this type of thing.
Well, I mean, you just mentioned the most logical one that you see is typically when you have a husband and wife both working, there's usually one spouse that is on the other spouse's plan, the one that's most favorable and less expensive. So you have to take a look at how will medical be impacted? And what if, you know, you're heavily mortgaged and the company provides life insurance? How will that impact you? The other thing is Social Security benefits. Do you really want to take Social Security early versus waiting to full retirement age, or not even taking it at full retirement age and allowing it to grow at 8% a year to age 70? And then the other thing you have to look at if you are retiring is longevity and your income, will you have enough between Social Security and your investments to carry you into retirement that could last 20, 25 years? And, you know, think of your own family. If you're in good health and you have longevity, you have parents in their 90s, or in some cases, even in their hundreds, you have to start thinking about, will my money last throughout that? And what if you have parents in their 90s and they're in long-term care homes? You have to consider what that would cost. And would your budget, or would you have the assets large enough to cover that?
Then there's the one that I think is really important, because we know that people who have purpose in their lives live much longer than people that don't. A lot of people like what they're doing and want to keep going. One friend of mine was a dentist, and he retired from his regular practice and then began specializing in giving dental care to people who couldn't afford it, you know, that were referred into him. And that's simply what he did, just taking funds from some government grants and other things to be able to do that. Other people actually say, well, now that I did what I had to do, now I'm going to do work-wise what I want to do or what's worthwhile. So that's the question. Do you want to retire, or do you want to just sort of switch modes now at this stage?
Yeah, that's a big question. Just like my doctor, he was ready to go to part-time, but he wasn't ready to completely retire, because he found the work that he was doing, like your dentist friend, is very satisfying. I have clients that choose to go and do something entirely different when they retire, working part-time, doing something different. A lot of it also depends on your own work. Do you have a degree of work flexibility? I have some clients that are working with companies because of their expertise. They work part-time and have more flex hours. I had one client who was so good at what he was doing. Basically, he negotiated with his company, said, hey, look, I'm not going to be traveling two or three times a month. I will stay on, but there are certain conventions and trips I know I have to be at. I will do those, but I'm not going to be traveling and being on the road as I am now. And so he has a lot more flexibility in his work schedule. And, you know, a lot of that really depends on, does your company value you? Do you feel appreciated at work? The camaraderie you have with your colleagues. So a lot of this is, you know, you may make that decision and say, God, I like what I'm doing. I mean, take a look at how many people do you know in their 70s and 80s that are still working and are enjoying full productive lives. So a lot of this really depends on, do you love what you're doing?
Okay, now we need to address the issue of early retirement. I remember end of the tech boom, when a lot of people had money in their portfolios at the time that they retired, and then kaplooey, everything went down, and then they got caught short in the whole thing. You know, there's always this illusion, you and I know this about the psychology of markets, it's just going to go up and up and up, or it's going to keep on doing what it's doing, but that never happens in the real world out there.
It does. Sometimes people retired, a lot of people retired in the year 2000, early 00 decade, and thought their assets would last them longer. They didn't count on Greenspan cutting interest rates down to 1% or Bernanke cutting them down to zero. And so that's an issue. The problem you have with early retirement is, number one, if you start taking your Social Security, you're going to get less. If you work for a company that has a defined benefit pension plan, you're going to get less money for a longer period of time. That applies both to Social Security and your pension plan. The other thing is Social Security itself. Obviously, you're going to get less at age 62. You're going to get more at age 66, full retirement, and you're going to get even more if you can delay it to age 70. So that's a big issue. And then also, if you're in a situation where both spouses are working, is trying to coordinate your retirement with that of your spouse. That is a big issue that has to be integrated. And then also you have things like avoiding penalties, especially if you're laid off in your 50s and you want to start drawing on IRAs. There's penalties, so that's why we like Roth IRAs, especially if you allow them to accumulate for 5 years. There's no penalty and they're tax-free, although there are some special provisions that allow you to get access to your IRA without paying penalties, but that's an issue for another show. So all these things have to come in, and you have to factor, once again, and this gets back to question number one, can I afford to retire? Because let's say you do get laid off for some reason, you may have to go back into the job market and try to find another job because you're just simply not able to retire.
Social Security is one of the big planks of making retirement decisions. It's a big issue because for many, many people, at least for now, it's one of the main sources of steady and stable income for people who are retired.
It's really becoming a major issue for boomers because you really want to avoid taking Social Security if you can as much as possible at age 62 because you're going to take a 25% haircut. And that 25% haircut is going to last for your entire retirement, which could be 25, 30 years. And it is so much better to wait to age 66 or 67 at full retirement age because it gives you a lot more flexibility. Number one, you can get full 100% of your benefits. Number two, you can work part-time and you're not going to be penalized or work full-time. And also, if possible, if you delay to age 70, your Social Security is going to grow at 8% a year, or another 32%, which will mean more for you at retirement and more for your spouse, your wife, who is most likely to outlive you, as most women do. 85% of the beneficiaries of Social Security are women. So what does that tell you? There's also tax issues you're going to face at age 70 and a half, which is why we like blending Roth IRAs in with regular IRAs so you don't get whacked and put yourself in a permanent high tax situation because you have to take required minimum distributions starting at age 70 and a half, and those distribution requirements go up every single year. I have clients in their 90s that are being forced to take over 10% of their IRA out because they're forced to. And of course, that is increasing their tax. But fortunately, most of these, we've done tax planning either with Roths or tax-free bonds that minimize the tax impact. So all of this is all these kind of things, whether it's early retirement or deciding to retire, it is going to impact you and it should be well thought out, well ahead and fully thought out of making those major decisions.
So summing up the considerations that we have here, can you afford to retire? That's the first consideration you have to ask. Number two, is it the right time to retire? And that's a timing issue with Social Security and your own finances. Number three, how will your spouse and or family members be affected by your retirement? Are you going to be home and driving them nuts all the time? Number four, do I really want to retire, or am I just making a switch here? Am I going to change what type of work that it actually is that I'm doing? So those are the four important things you have to consider when making the decision to retire. Okay, coming up tomorrow on the program, Paul Horn is going to be with us, long-term care and elderly issues. That will be the subject of conversation. It's time for our lifetime income real-life case study. And remember, as you listen to this, this is an hypothetical illustration based on real life examples. The names and circumstances have been changed. We also have slides online. We call them slides because that's what people used to use. Slides online at financialsense.com, which illustrate the points that Jim is making. All right. Frame the study for us this week.
This week, we have the case of Connie Schultz. Connie is age 64. She hopes to retire within a few years. Given her life expectancy, she's in good health, and given her parents' life expectancy, she's expected to live to age 95. She's sort of moderately conservative. Her goals are income with capital preservation. What's important to Connie? Number one, she wanted to establish a retirement plan because she's thinking now ahead of retiring over the next couple of years. She wants to know, can I afford to retire? And she wants to figure out kind of in her mind, what is she going to do when she retires and has all this free time? Once again, this gets back to that retirement decision being a personal one in Connie's case. Also, she wants to be able to maintain a standard of living and do the things she likes to do. And of course, manage her taxes. Now, if we take a look at Connie's budget, essential budget is $50,000. Her discretionary, mainly travel, $16,000. So her total budget is $66,500. When she retires, we estimate her Social Security will be $29,000. Her company pension will be $32,000. So she'll have a shortfall roughly of $5,500 a year. Now, what we had to deal with is she was basically kind of facing this is she's single and preparing for basically leaving the workforce and the challenges of retirement. All right, I love what I do. I like work. It gives me money. I have surplus. What am I going to do when I retire? What's going to fill up that free time? Friendships, things like that. So we wanted to create a retirement plan to sort of put that all in perspective, wanted to lower exposure to taxes and manage the cash flow. What we basically did is we recommended that she retire in 12 to 18 months, although she could retire today. She is not psychologically ready. We reminded her that retirement is merely the opportunity to pursue one's passions in life. She really liked the idea of starting a business, so we advised that Connie develop a business plan. The other thing is we recommended she create a bucket list of items she would want to accomplish before she retires. Things like offering a local charity or expertise as an accomplished lawyer, or going and starting a small business of her own. In other words, think this ahead of actually doing it. We also used Roth conversions to reduce her required minimum distribution because her pension was large enough that basically she was going to get herself in a higher tax situation, especially being single. If you're single out there, you get into a higher tax bracket at a much earlier age. And we also wanted to diversify her assets. We told her that, look, you've done very well in this bull market. Stocks have been going up every single year. But if you're 12 to 18 months away, you're not going to want to be 100% invested in stock funds the way you are now. So we began to diversify and take and de-risk her portfolio. We also recommended that she put together a budget so that we could adequately piece together a plan to meet her specific income needs at the start of retirement. So a couple of things here. Number one, she wanted to retire. She wanted to think of doing it, but she also didn't want to just sit around and do nothing. She wanted to do something productive. She thought, I'd kind of like to do either start a business or do pro bono work or do something a little different than what I'm doing now. And then also, we had to do a little tax planning because eventually she would find herself in a higher tax bracket as she gets older, especially, you know, given her life expectancy into the 90s. And so this was a lot of pre-retirement planning. And basically she needed some mental time to wrap her head around this idea. I'm leaving the work I love doing and I'm going to retire. So a lot of prep work prior to making that retirement decision. And we felt that she needed at least a good 12 to 18 months to think that through before just retiring, because she had enough money and income to retire now. But basically, she wanted to think this through.
Again, tomorrow on the program, Paul Horan, long-term care and elderly issues. And Jim, what are we looking at long-term, since we're talking about long-term things, coming up over the next few weeks here on the program?
We're going to be mixing up investment planning, cash flow planning, because we've got a lot of requests for that, and de-risking portfolios, because we know we're getting to the end of business cycle. There's also a new documentary on food and health, the way we eat. It's trending very high on Netflix. It's called What the Health, and I hope to get the film producer on the show and take some clips from that documentary film. It is going to blow your mind, folks, when you think about what is healthy and what is not. I mean, it is a real eye-opener, and I hope everybody watches it, especially when you start getting information from all these associations you think that have your best interest, like the American Cancer Society, the American Heart Society, the Diabetes Foundation, the Breast Cancer Society, all these things. Wait till you watch this film. It is an eye-opener, and we hope to have that person on this show. Anyway, a lot of things to talk about in the weeks ahead. In the meantime, on behalf of John Leffler and myself, we'd like to thank you for joining us here on Lifetime Income. Until you and I talk again, we hope you have a pleasant week.
You can subscribe to Financial Sense NewsHour in the iTunes and BlackBerry podcast libraries or at feeds.feedburner.com/FSM. Find more information about our guests at www.financialsense.com/newshour. Friend us at www.facebook.com/financialsenseonline. For our on-the-go listeners, you can access Financial Sense on your mobile device at m.financialsense.com. The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the NewsHour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of James Poplava and do not take into account listeners' suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense NewsHour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies profiled on or advertising with Financial Sense, or arising out of the use of any material on the NewsHour. Be advised that you invest at your own risk.